Welcome to the Our Savior Speaks podcast from Our Savior Episcopal Church, located at 4227 Columbia Road in Martinez, Georgia. Through this podcast, we'll be sharing messages of hope and encouragement that can be found in the life and lessons of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will also explore ways in which God can work through each of us to make our Lord's grace and love a reality for all of humanity. The sermon that follows will include references to all four readings for the third Sunday in Lent in year B of the lectionary cycle. Paul's statement about the world viewing the message about the cross as foolishness will be examined. I will also speak about the scene in John's Gospel where Jesus overturns the tables of the money changers in the temple and how those around him may have considered his actions to be foolish. All of this will be linked back to the Decalogue as a source of guidance for us all, as we then ponder the significance of Paul's statement when he says, "For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." In a moment, we will hear readings from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, from Psalm 19, from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and from John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Then God spoke all these words to Moses on Mount Sinai. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents, to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien residents in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us now chant together Psalm 19, found in your worship bulletin.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the deep as he set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning. Test testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, much more than fine gold, sweeter far than honey, than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you. let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So occasionally, I like to use the last verse in today's psalm as a transition from the reading of the gospel to the homily. The author of Psalm 19 really understood our need for God to guide our thoughts, our words, and yes, even our actions, which is sometimes why I choose this option to open, I choose to open with this verse that really does set the stage for everything that is to follow. If I or any of us fail in acknowledging God's redeeming presence each time we gather for worship, then we are denying ourselves the chance to gain greater knowledge and understanding in our faith. The psalmist says, "The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb." At times we may wonder how God's presence and God's statutes can benefit us. And I believe the answer lies, well, in the rest of today's psalm, where we are told how greater knowledge can help us identify potential deficiencies in our lives, with God being ready to help us with course correction whenever we allow. There are those who might think that what we do as followers of Christ, well, it might just be a waste of time. That is, until they themselves have experienced our Lord's loving presence for themselves. Some might think that living by the statutes of our Lord will restrict our freedom of experience, of experiencing life. Well, that is, until they come to understand that God's statutes were meant really for our benefit rather than just being something to hold us back. Our Old Testament lesson that we heard from Exodus features the Decalogue, which we actually opened the service with today, and we do each Sunday during Lent. This is known otherwise, more commonly, as the Ten Commandments. When we look closer at these commandments, we soon realize that they really can serve as a guide for a better way of living. It's true that we sometimes fail at keeping these commandments, but that's really where God's grace kicks in when we acknowledge our shortcoming, seek God's forgiveness, and continue just giving our best effort until, well, you know, a course correction is needed again. This is when we allow our Lord to help with straightening our paths. I'm sure that most, if not all of us, have done things in our lives that don't line up with what we understand to be the path our Lord would have us follow. You know the things I'm talking about, those things that are probably just tucked far back in our minds, safely to never, ever see the light of day. I'm just thankful that social media did not exist during my teenage and my young adult years, so that there is no video evidence, at least, of lapses in my good judgment during that period in life. Every one of us, we've all done some foolish things. If this were not the case, then we would not be human. Now this begs the question, did Jesus ever do anything foolish? Well, there is that gap from his teenage years to young adult, right? Now, even though we believe that Jesus did not sin, there must have been some things in his humanity that he did that may have caused him pause as he tried to do better going forward. Now, as we turn our attention then to today's gospel, there are folks who might think that our Lord's actions in the temple, they may have been kind of questionable. Now, while Jesus was protesting the actions from those who had turned the temple into a marketplace, I think it's very important for us to note what he didn't do. It's important to note that he never directed his anger toward individuals. Jesus remained focused on bringing change to what he was saw that was wrong, rather than hurling personal insults and threats toward those who disagreed with him. By taking this approach to bring about change, we can see how Jesus, he really remained within the parameters of the Decalogue while providing us with a template for how we can engage in bringing about necessary transformation in the world. Some may have thought that Jesus, he may have been kind of foolish, but zeal for his Father's house helped him overcome anything that may have been getting in his way in speaking up for what he believed was right. By observing Jesus' actions in today's gospel, we might even become a little uncomfortable. Even as we ponder the significance of the Ten Commandments, we may even question, why do we even need them? If we're honest, we know that deep in our heart is this the place where we struggle. We struggle at times in following where God wants to lead us. Without realizing it, we may be, bowing to the idols of the world or coveting where we shouldn't, while losing sight of the true source of our peace and spiritual well-being. In his first letter to the Corinthians, we heard a few moments ago, Paul reminds us that human wisdom also is not sufficient for understanding God unless we choose to embrace faith in seeking to follow the ways of Christ. So how do we see Jesus engaging with a world that seems to constantly have trouble trying to understand him? Those who are in the temple, they might interpret Jesus' behavior not only as foolishness, but possibly even as being madness. The people around him are fulfilling what they believe to be the right and proper functions of the temple. But he makes it clear that they have forgotten their purpose of what they're doing and really why they're doing it. We might say that they were just going through the motions, which can be a common challenge for us when we allow complacency to creep into our relationship with God. So here we are today. We are at the third Sunday of Lent. We are at the midpoint of our journey through this holy season with challenging lessons from the lectionary. Now might be a good time for us to think about our Lenten disciplines and assess whether or not they are bringing us closer to God. At times, the things we do during Lent, they might seem kind of foolish. That is, until we notice a change in our routines and a greater awareness of God's presence. Thankfully, we don't have to have all the answers to be followers of Christ, which is why we often use the term spiritual journey to describe how we engage with our Lord while along the way gaining knowledge and experience. So how do we respond when it seems like God may be stirring in our midst, especially when we may feel completely unprepared to reply? I believe that the answer to this question lies in the last verse of today's epistle when Paul says, "For foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." Just think about it. When we lean into the way of our Lord, we are connecting with the one who knows us better than ourselves. We are trusting that God can provide the way forward in spite of what the world may say to the contrary. We are progressing in faith. While praying the opening collect, we acknowledge that ultimately we have no power in ourselves, which is truly a statement of surrender and faith. As we continued asking God to be with us in body and soul, we were really turning to the only one who can help us understand that what the world sees as foolishness is actually a path leading to righteousness. And as our Lenten journey of faith continues, I pray that we may experience that same zeal as Jesus in proclaiming him as our Lord, while inviting all to experience grace and love that far exceed human comprehension. Amen.